Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I appreciate the testimonies, hearing what God did in the heart of those who went to the great nation of Israel, and thank God for that. I'm also thankful for those of you who are guests tonight, this year being your first time here. There is a connection card that's inside the service programs you came in. If you tear that off and perhaps hand that to an usher as you leave tonight, or stop by the guest services booth out in the lobby, grab your bag. We'll give you some information about our church and who we are. We would be grateful. And if you would care just sharing a little bit about yourself on that connection card, that would be a blessing to us. You know, several years ago, Tom Brady was interviewed, and he was asked the question about his life and about who he was. And one of the things that he said is that he was looking for something. He said, you know, he had gotten, Super Bowl rings, and he's made all these millions of dollars, and he's had all these things, but he was still missing something. He didn't know what it was. He's searching. And I was thinking about how many people in our world are searching. We're looking for something. No doubt about it that when you search, that means you have this drive within you, this desire to have something. Reading in regards to those in the Old Testament about how when they would search for food, I was thinking, you know, here I was thinking out here, we're in Israel and in the desert, and we're looking, you know, at all these scenes and sights and ruins. And I was thinking in my mind, how in the world do they ever find food out here? You know, I mean, starvation drives you to want to do something to feed yourself. You know, that starvation can drive you to do weird things. And I mean, we read about the Old Testament how that there were people who we read about two women during a time of terrible famine, how that they ate their children. And how they sold a donkey head. Can you imagine eating a donkey head? And they did whatever they could to survive because they were searching for something to fill them. And our world's like that. Maybe you're here tonight and you're searching for something. Maybe you're searching for some answers to things. Wondering, what is it? How can my life and how can things matter in my life? You know, I'm coming to another holiday season. How are things going to be different this year than they are last year, or the last 2 years, the last 5 years, the last 10 years? Whatever it is, we all find ourselves from time to time searching for something. Well, fortunately, even though we're searching, and by the way, this search is inside you. It's that which God has placed there. This is not something that, you know, you kind of work up and you say, yeah, well, I guess I'm searching for something because the preacher says I am. No, it's there. It's instinctive. It's that which God has placed within every one of us, and the prophet knew that. And the prophet in this chapter was telling to the nation of Israel, like he's telling to us today, where we're to look, where we are to search, what really the end of our search is. And I want to call your attention to verse number 6, because here in this great passage of the Word of God, God shows us that we are to seek the Lord. Notice what he says. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So what God says is here, if you find yourself searching, stop looking in the wrong places and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. So I'm going to give you three principles tonight. The Bible says about seeking the Lord, because I think it's important for all of us to make sure that in our search, because we're searching. It's all throughout the scriptures. You find it, it's instinctive in us. We know that we're looking and searching. But here the Bible says we're to search and seek the Lord. And let me give you these principles. There's some basic things. Because in this passage, number one, God says we're to pursue after God. We're to pursue after God. Now, the world wants to pursue after pleasure. That's kind of how our world is geared. Everything's kind of driven that way. In other words, you know, it's all about party on the weekends and work during the week so we can party on the weekends. Or it's all about, you know, about recreating rather than you know, worshiping the Lord. And it's all about doing these things to make us feel good rather than honoring the Lord with our life. But God says that if you're searching, the reason why you're searching is because your search is ending in the wrong places. They're all empty. That we're to pursue after God. By the way, it is a great joy to know that in our pursuit, and we'll see this in a moment, that God will allow himself to be found. Pursue him. What are you seeking tonight? What is your search after? Is it you're searching for that which brings you pleasure? I mean, is that what brings really the satisfaction in your life? But God says here that we're to seek ye the Lord. So the seek means I'm to be careful in my inquiry to go after with all of my effort the Lord. I don't know. When we went to this journey to Israel, it was quite a journey to say the least. But when we went there, one of the things I found is my search in going there was to find what it was about that place that God chose to work, the place called the Holy Land. It's called the city of God, Jerusalem. What is it about that place? And to be honest with you, it's ugly. I mean, it's desert. Rocks. I mean, if rocks were worth anything, they would be the richest nation in all the world. And rocks everywhere. It's just everything's built on rocks. It's dry. It actually rained when we were there one day. But it wasn't the place. It was the God of the place. And when I got there, the connection that we're sharing with you tonight is the fact it's God. That's what touched us. That's what moved us. That's why we wept when we're there, when we walk in these streets, when we see that it's God's there and God's footprint and God's stamp is there everywhere that you look as you go up and down. And the whole idea is that for our life, that we want God in the middle of our life. And that takes a pursuit after God. Because here's what I found. If we don't pursue after the Lord, we're going to pursue after something else. And that pursuit will lead us in the wrong place if we're not careful. And God says, so in this passage, God reminds me, if I'm to seek the Lord, seek ye the Lord. God says that I am to make every effort possible. because the bottom line is God expects me to seek him. That's what God expects. God gives me a command that if I'm naturally going to seek after something, that God wants me to come to him. Because to be honest with you, when I come to God in seeking after him, he is a place of rest for my soul. There's no longer the need to fill that with something that does not give me rest. God gives me rest. I like what Jesus says. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you're here tonight and you're tired. You're looking and you're just worn out and you're just wondering. Here's what God says. Seek ye the Lord. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Your soul will be at rest with the Lord as you seek him. But the limitation is there because it says, while he may be found. In other words, there's a time in which we can seek the Lord, and God allows himself to be found, but there will be a time when the seeking will no longer be available. When God will no longer allow himself to be found. When God will no longer allow that in our life. And what God is saying is that we're to seek him while he may be found now. There's an urgency about seeking the Lord. God says in Genesis chapter number 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There will come a time when the Holy Spirit will no longer bring conviction. There will come a time when the Holy Spirit of God will no longer deal with us. And God is saying, he's inviting us to come unto him, to pursue after him. Because it is at that point, God says, I'm available. I want you to come to me. So the first principle is pursue after God. Don't pursue anything else. Go after God. Pursue him. Whatever you have to do, search after God. Because here's what the Bible says. Seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Seek, and God will be found. I was thinking about, you know, like some people that you know, wonder in these countries. When Brother Thomason was here, he was talking about the 1040 window. And he was talking about that area of the world in which there are people that it's illegal to preach the gospel. It's illegal to give out any gospel tracts. It's wrong for anyone to be able to even go into that country as a missionary, because that nation is so much against that. They're either Muslim or whatever they have. They're just, and so how do we reach those people? Well, you know what? It's an amazing thing. In spite of that, there are still countries of the world where that's illegal, but yet there are more Christians growing by the leaps and bounds. China's a great example of that. Because somewhere along the way, when they seek after the Lord, God provides a way for them. And I'm saying to you tonight, whatever your search is, make sure that you search after God. Seek ye the Lord. Put your faith in him. Search after him. What a difference he will make. But then there's another principle I want you to notice here, that we're to return to God. Return to God. Years ago, we don't do this anymore. At least, I don't hear about it much anymore. But years ago, there used to be something they called revival. Have you guys heard of revival? You know what I'm talking about? Revival is something that people used to hear about. You know, you'd have 2 weeks revival. You know, for 10 days, you would go to a revival meeting. And you'd invite friends and people would go. And the whole idea of revival is that people wanted to, you go there and you want to get right with God, and you bring people who didn't know Christ, that they become believers as well. And And that was the goal of the revival meeting. And it was always a great 2 weeks to go. Now we want revival in one service. You know, we just, you know, 2 weeks? You're 2 weeks? Are you kidding me? And so we've kind of relegated now the Holy Spirit down to, God, if you don't do it in 1 day or 3 days or one service, I guess we're not going to have revival. But let me show you what this is about. Here's something I learned about revival. Revival is not an event that I create by having a meeting. You can't have revival just because you want to have one. It's not like I'm going to say, okay, next week we're going to have revival, and man, revival happens. Because revival is not that. And let me give you the idea of what revival is. That's what this passage is talking about here. Revival's when God comes down from heaven and works in our life. Revival is not an event. It's not a service or a series of services. It is not that which we mechanically create and kind of manipulate and make God do, because it doesn't work like that. Revival is when God's people have a touch from God. God speaks to their heart. There's conviction. And there's a return to God. Real revival is not for the lost person, the person that does not know Christ. And by the way, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're just thrilled you're here tonight. You're among friends. You're among people that genuinely care about you. And we want you to know the Lord that we know. And we want you to know Him. And the Bible says you can. But we have to realize that we're sinners and we can't go to heaven because we're good. We only go to heaven because we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's our payment for our sin. He's our hope and promise of heaven. And it's through Jesus that we can go to heaven. But revival's for that person who is already a believer, and his life, perhaps maybe he's gone away from God. And the whole idea in revival is the fact that we come back to God. And what that means is that we do three areas. There's three areas in returning to God. Number one is we forsake self-righteousness. Our self-righteousness is the kind of thing is, you know, something I found is really interesting is that oftentimes and he says, let the wicked forsake his way. And I think the idea is this, is that we look at and we say, you know what? Anyone who lives different than me, they're sinners, I'm not. We kind of like to do that. You know, we set up sort of this imagined, if you would, this imagined set of rules, and those are the rules that we manage ourselves and that we follow ourselves and that we make ourselves fit into these rules. And to everyone outside of that, they're liberal or they're not right. That's that self-righteousness. And God said, let a man forsake his way. Because something I learned in this passage, if you would, can I call your attention to verse number 8? Look what it says. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's what God says. Your ways and my ways are not God's ways. Now, how many of you have ever said this? You know, if I were God, I'd do something different. I mean, if I were God, here's what I would do. I would have God's people have all the money in the world and all the sinners have nothing. Or I would have all of the famous people among God's people and all of the wicked people be the bad people. In other words, I would kind of tilt the way things are in our world. I would change the way things are. You know, sometimes we want to do things our way. And here's the other thing. Oftentimes, man wants to go to heaven his own way. And he tries to go his own way. The reason why I'm a Christian is because I've been a good person. The Bible says all our righteousness are filthy rags. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized. Baptism won't take us to heaven. Some people say, I'm going to heaven because I'm a Baptist or I'm a Methodist or whatever the case is. No denomination can take us to heaven. The only way we go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We're to forsake our self-righteousness. But there's another part of this, is we're to forsake our self-absorption. Man's thoughts about himself and his world. God says we're to reprogram our thinking. Our world is not about us, it's about God. The reason why we're here is not for us, we're here for God. And we're to think upon God, and we're to look our attention and focus our attention upon Him. That's why Paul wrote these words when he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The unfortunate part is that we're thinking on all the wrong things. God says we need to be reminded of the fact that return back to God. Hey, let me tell you this. If you go through this entire week and you're a Christian and you never talk about Jesus Christ, you better check out your Christian life. I mean, if you can go all day long and never talk about Jesus to your friends or to the people you work with, and I realize that in workplaces there's that pushback. I mean, you can talk about Allah if you want, but you can't talk about Jesus. I realize that. Or you could talk about, whatever. You could talk about Budweiser, you can't talk about Jesus. But let's be honest. If we're believers, the most important person in our life is Jesus Christ. We can't help but want to talk about Him. We can't help but want to share. We can't help but rejoice about what God's doing in our life. We can't help but want to let others know about it. We can't help but talk about that. And if our homes are absent of Jesus, then tell me, what is going on in our homes? And God's serious about that. We're to forsake this self-absorption. I fear that so often in our homes we talk more about what we don't have and what we're going to have. And when we come into the Christmas season, it's all about, well, I've got my list and she's got her list and the kids got their list and we're all going to get whatever we want. Where's Jesus in that? What about Him? God says, forsake our self-absorption. Forsake being so absorbed with yourself and your ways and what you want and who you are. And He says, follow Christ. Now, following Christ means that I'm to turn, and that's the whole idea in this idea of turning, returning to God. It's repentance. It's turning our way back to God and following Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what He means, return. If you find yourself going the opposite direction, return. If you haven't thought about Jesus until last Sunday, from last Sunday to now, you need to return to God. Need to return. First principle number one, we're to pursue God. Principle number two, the Bible says we're to return to God. And principle number three is a reception from God. Boy, this is good. Notice what He says. If you read that, go back and read that. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And notice what happens. And He will have mercy upon him. How many of you agree with me that's a great blessing to know God is a merciful God? Amen. It is good to know that we have a God of mercy, because God gives mercy. That's what He does. He gives mercy to us. And what God is saying is when we understand that mercy begins with God, it all comes because God realizes that we're weak and that we are frail and that we're sinful and that we're unholy and that we're unrighteous and we can't do anything, that we are but dust. But God says, even with that, He extends His mercy. Psalm 78 says it like this, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. If you were to study out the word, there's a word about the mercy of God. It's so evident in the name Bethlehem. Beth, house of, and then the last part is chem. It's the Hebrew pronunciation. The last part of that means mercy. It's been called the house of bread. It's two words that go together, but the whole idea of it is that there is mercy, and guess where it starts? It starts in the manger in Bethlehem. It starts with the Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're looking for mercy, you're not going to find it from man. You're not going to find it from the idols and the gods of this world. All they want is what they can get out of you. But with Jesus Christ, there is mercy. What a blessing to know we have the mercy of God. That's what God says. And when we seek him, and when we pursue after him, and when we find him, God says, I'm a God of mercy. And then he gives forgiveness. He says, I will abundantly pardon. I mean, abundantly pardon? How many of you have an abundance of sin in your life? Isn't it good to know we have a God that abundantly pardons all that we have? Amen? We all do. But thank God he abundantly pardons. He forgives us through Jesus Christ. He does not forgive us because we have done anything. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. And the best part is that it's all removed. It's not even upon us. It is removed from us because of the mercy of God. What are you searching for tonight? Looking for something to satisfy you? Is it that thing that they're going to be advertising next week? Funny thing, you know, there's probably some things right now. I was thinking about this. There's probably some things right now that I really need in my life that's going to give me joy and contentment that I don't even know anything about yet. They're going to tell me about it in a couple weeks. It's going to be the next thing they're going to be advertising to me. And I'm going to be sitting there saying, really? Are you serious? Look, I got everything I need in Jesus. Now, God knows what I need. Don't get me wrong. I know we need a house and car and all that. I understand all that. But the fact is that he is our contentment. That's what it is. That's what he says. If you're searching, you're not going to find it anything better than what he has. I hope you'll seek him today. When you seek the Lord, he can be found. And he wants you to seek him tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord,